New midterm polls just dropped, and it is a complete 180 toward Republicans now. J.D. Vance also got a boost in the 2028 polls. We also review what people from the 90s thought 2025 would look like politically. And Trump sues Virginia for trying to pay illegals to go to college. As always, guys, if you want to support this show, go check out my sponsors in the description below. They're worth checking out, every single one of them. And they help me continue my work, but more from them later. Donald Trump's approval rating has skyrocketed over the last 2 months, and the data that I'm about to show you really proves that the midterms are 100% still in play. I really believe that Donald Trump, because of the data that I'm gonna show, can pull Republicans over the edge that otherwise may not have performed. I'm also gonna show you that Republicans might even have the advantage for 2028. First off, looking at Trump's approval rating, this just came in from Trafalgar Group. Trump is sitting at 50% approval, which is very, very high. Disapproval is at 45%. There's been a litany of other polls that have come out, and they range from about 43% for the most liberal ones up to 50% for the more Republican ones like Trafalgar, or there's RMG as well that has been very bullish on Trump. Either way, if you look, the polling is going up for Trump, whether it's 43% or 50%. I guess we don't really know for certain because the polls are never 100% on. But what is clear is that they're going up big time. The thing is, this popularity for Trump is rubbing off on Trump's allies right now. Fox News reported in their poll that Marco Rubio and J.D. Vance are right now the most popular politicians in power.
The Senate Minority Leader falling behind Marco Rubio, J.D. Vance, Hakeem Jeffries, Mike Johnson, and John Thune. Fox News contributor Bill McGurn joins us.
So what we're seeing is that when Trump does well, his cabinet does well also. You can see right now, this just came out from RMG. J.D. Vance, his favorability is the same as Donald Trump's. Favorable, 50% to 44% unfavorable. If you're looking at J.D. Vance, I wouldn't have thought J.D. Vance would be the most popular person just from an independent level looking forward to 2028. It's possible he might, depending on how the Trump administration does over the next 3 years. It's possible he won't be. You know, if I had to guess, I would say Marco Rubio is probably going to be above him like he was in that Fox poll, but we don't know. And I think sitting at 50% right now, and it's very likely that he's going to win the Republican nomination, I'm not so upset if I'm a Republican looking at those approval ratings. They look very strong for him. Trump's popularity is not just affecting the people that are his allies, but it's also affecting the people who have gone against him in the Republican Party. Right now, this just came out about Marjorie Taylor Greene. We talked about her a few weeks ago. Marjorie Taylor Greene had a big fallout with Donald Trump. She's a lot more on the side of Candace Owens, the side that's kind of rebelling against MAGA in a lot of ways. And what you can see here is back in February of 2023, almost 3 years ago, she had quite a high favorability rating. I mean, she was plus 22, meaning she had 44% favorable and 22% unfavorable. There's a lot of people who just didn't know who she was. If you look at it today, she is actually underwater by 7 points. Only 32% of people see her as favorable now. That is a net 29-point negative swing. So that is bad. And again, the only reason why that's happened is because she's come out against Trump and Trump has come out against her. And Trump's approval went up and hers went down. And so it's just proving where the Republican base is right now. I know we like to pretend sometimes that the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Thomas Massies and the Matt Gaetz and all these kind of more fringe politicians are the ones leading things. They're just not. I mean, whether you like them or hate them, they're just not leading the movement. No poll right now suggests that. It is very clear that Trump is the one driving this. When you look forward to the midterms, things are actually looking better for Republicans at large as well. The newest midterm polls, this comes from McLaughlin & Associates. It is a dead heat right now between Democrats and Republicans. And this really breaks down, I think, rather than just four Democrats against, four Republicans against. It actually shows if people are definitely, probably, or leaning, and then there's some undecideds. For the GOP, if you add it all up, it's at 45% GOP and 46% Democrat. 1% is not statistically relevant. It is a dead heat. If you look at the definitely, it's 31 to 32. Probably is 9 to 9. Lean is 5 to 5. It's a dead heat in every single category. The only thing that's interesting here is there are 9% of people who are undecided. So obviously, looking forward, Republicans need to look at what is undecided about those 9% and capitalize off of that. The big question is, what can Republicans do to make history and seal the deal in 2026 and maybe even in 2028 as well? And ultimately, through all of this, I believe it's the economy. I believe that 9% in that McLaughlin poll, they're undecided because they're looking at the Biden times and they're thinking, well, the economy sucked. And the economy is the number one issue every time. I mean, it decides every single election. Let's not pretend abortion matters. Let's not pretend education even matters that much. It really doesn't. It's all the economy, a little bit of crime. Because at the end of the day, what do people care about? They care about what is affecting them at the moment. And the price at the grocery store, or if you're going to get mugged, is what actually affects you. And so that 9% is looking at the Biden administration. They're saying to themselves, yeah, that sucked. I mean, the economy was not good. You know, I remember 9% inflation. That inflation doesn't go away. That's baked into the prices forever. But then they're looking at the economy right now, and they're still feeling the effects of the Biden administration. They're saying to themselves, well, it's not good right now either. And so they're undecided. And so all Trump has to do, he's in the power position here, because he needs to show them, hey, I know it sucks because of what Biden did, but it's getting better. And they're going to remember, oh, worse under Biden, better under Trump. And that will swing it towards Republicans. Gallup polls have some evidence for this right now. If you look, this is the U.S. net satisfaction annual averages. And I think this is really interesting. This is if the U.S. was satisfied with the current state of politics in America. And you can see the highest was during the Reagan administration, the 80s. And it was also towards the end of the Clinton administration. It was also right after 9/11, which was kind of a fluke thing because there was this feeling of national unity that just never happened before and probably will never happen again. But you look and it's like, yeah, the economy was doing well during those times. The lowest when people were not satisfied, 2008, 2022, 2023, 2024, all of Biden's years. If you look at the bottom, it's all Obama's years, 2010, 11, 2014, 2021, 2013. Basically, every single lowest year was 2008, which was a recession, or Obama and Biden, every single time. Gallup did the exact same thing, but this time specifically with economic conditions ratings, and it's the same exact story. This is from 1992 to 2025. The highest time when people were really pumped was 2000. The economy was booming, 1999, 1998. Again, credit to Bill Clinton. He knew how to run an economy. He did very, very good. And then the other time is towards the end of the Trump administration, 2019, 2018. People were very happy with the economy. Again, it wasn't 2017, actually. That's when Trump took office. It was 2 years after when people really started to like what was happening. That could happen again. The lowest times, no surprise here again, 2008, 2009, 2011, Obama, 2022, 2023, Biden. It just makes perfect sense. Like, these are when reality and the polling intersect. Sometimes the polling doesn't really reflect reality. This time it 100% does. Like, yeah, 2023 sucked in terms of the economy. 2008 sucked in terms of being in a recession. So Trump's strategy here is actually very, very simple. Laser focus on the economy. Nothing else. People are feeling it so bad right now. If they feel just a little bit of reprieve, it doesn't even have to be that much, they will not want what Democrats are offering because they will remember Obama and Biden. And that also means that Republican politicians need to let go of the other distractions that are out there. There's a lot Republicans can do right now. You are 10 months away from an election. Focus on one, the economy. The reality is, if you are focused more on Israel right now, for example, if you're more focused on that than the midterms as an American politician, you are not America first. You're just not. I firmly believe that all American politicians should be America first. If you're going on Tucker Carlson to talk about AIPAC while Americans are suffering because interest rates are too high and inflation's too high and unemployment is rising, you know, goods and services are rising, screw you, honestly. Like, really? That's what you're going to make your whole political campaign based off of? AIPAC? And that's just one example. I mean, honestly. Even Qatar, I hate Qatar. I hate what they're doing to our country. But if that's all you're going to talk about all day and you haven't done anything to actually fix the economy, screw you. I don't believe you're America first at all. I think it's all just a op. I think you would rather be a political commentator than a politician and actually get something done. You don't care about Americans. You care about appeasing a few wackos on the internet. With every election, obviously the key is turnout. Gallup just came out with a damning poll for Democrats. And it spells a lot for turnout. This is party net approval. Democrats are negative 50. Negative 50, guys. That means 50% more people hate Democrats than like them. Among Democrats, they're underwater. Democrats don't even like Democrats. They're underwater by 1 point. Republicans, on the other hand, though, they're negative 41. That's not great. It is 9% better than Democrats. But among Republicans, they're plus 40. This means Republicans are very unified right now. Republicans like Republicans. Democrats don't like Democrats. Republicans also don't like Democrats. And that's going to mean something big for turnout. The bottom line is Democrats are not going to turn out if they don't like their own party. Republicans will turn out if they like Donald Trump and the party. And so, again, it might come down to the polls being basically a dead heat. But if that's just a sample size of what people say they may do. But if they don't actually show up and vote, it doesn't matter. I do not think that Democrats, hating Democrats, is a recipe for high turnout in 2026. And I think they could lose because of it. Before we get back to the show, guys, I want to share something every family should keep close by: Noxiderm. Burns can look small sometimes, but today's tougher bacteria mean even minor ones can turn into scarring or infection if you're not prepared. That's why I use Noxiderm, a premium, fast-acting first aid antiseptic foam that helps protect minor wounds and cuts from infection. Noxiderm is also formulated with nitric oxide, which is nature's miracle molecule to support healthier-looking skin and reduce the appearance of scars. As someone with type 1 diabetes myself, healing takes longer sometimes, and so infection and scarring are a real concern for me, and Noxiderm is a powerful investment for me and my family. Guys, for an exclusive listener right now, you can see it on screen right now. Visit shop.noxiderm.com/Josh Carr. Enter the promo code in the show notes. Don't hesitate. Take care of yourself and your loved ones this holiday season. This message was sponsored by Noxiderm. Noxiderm does not endorse the views expressed in this program. For minor cuts, scrapes, and burns only, not for serious wounds, a brief sting on first contact is normal. Noxiderm helps reduce bacteria on the skin surface and supports healthier-looking skin. It is not a substitute for professional medical care. So since the new year is just around the corner, I thought I'd show you guys my favorite poll that just came out. Americans in 1998 were asked what they think 2025 will look like. And these are the results. The questions, there's a lot of questions. They're really good, though, actually. I think they really show what people were thinking. And I think a lot of what was wrong about it is they thought that things would be more liberal than they actually are. The question, what Americans in a 1998 poll expected to happen by the year 2025? The emergence of a deadly new disease. 75% said yes. That's interesting. 75% thought COVID might be a reality. And I do believe COVID was a deadly disease. I mean, it did kill a lot of people. Maybe not as deadly as they were expecting. I think modern medicine's come a long way, so that's amazing. But, I mean, I think it's fascinating that that was something they were fully expecting. I was not alive in 1998, by the way. I was born in 2001, which de-ages me a bit. So these are people from before my time predicting now. The next question was, gay marriages will be commonplace. 74% said they believed it will be. They were right about that. Country will have elected a black president. 69% said yes. They were right about that. Physician-assisted suicide will be commonplace. 68% said yes. That is one area we have not liberalized on. Not here in the United States. In Canada, obviously, it's become a huge problem. In the United States, luckily, that is not happening. And you're not really seeing a huge push for it right now. Not on a national scale, at least. So they're dead wrong about that. Next up, an environmental catastrophe will have occurred. 67% said yes. That is a fantastic example of the fear-mongering going on in the 90s. Nothing has happened whatsoever. In fact, all we've seen is technology thrive. So, I mean, in 1998, the iPod did not exist. Social media did not exist. Now, you might say, hey, maybe we don't need that. But on a certain scale, technology has gone crazy in the 21st century, and environmental catastrophes have not happened like Al Gore said would happen in the 90s. Next up, country will have elected a woman president. 66% said yes, they were wrong. Illicit drug use such as marijuana and cocaine will be commonplace. 64% said yes. I would say that is not accurate. Marijuana has become more, you know, obviously it's been legalized in a lot more states, but cocaine, not commonplace. And I actually think, especially for my generation, you're seeing my generation really turn away from a lot of drugs. They started to go towards Zyn and nicotine and things like that. But in terms of cocaine, even drinking, my generation just does not do that. So I think that's wrong, honestly. People routinely live to be 100 years old. 61% said yes. AIDS will be cured. Cancer will be cured. That was 60 and 59%. They're wrong about that. Most stores will be replaced by shopping on the internet. 56% said yes. Very true. Most people will do their jobs from home. 52% said yes. Interesting. I wouldn't say most people do, but yes, that has increased a lot. And the United States will be involved in a full-scale war. Yes, you know, from time to time it has. But in 2025, no. I would not say that we're involved in a full-scale war at all, thanks to Donald Trump. So some are right, some are wrong. I think it's clear that 1998 thought we would be more liberal than we actually are. A lot of people ask all the time, what has conservatism actually conserved? I mean, if you ask the people from 1998, I think they'd say they've conserved a little bit more than what they thought. I really do. And I think ever since 2016, really, we've been looking at a steady trend in the conservative direction instead. In other news, guys, a bombshell report just came out from the Trump administration that Virginia has been paying illegal immigrants to go to college. We've got the full story for you. We're going to be showing the lawsuit from the Trump administration that is going to be coming and how much money Virginia has been giving illegal immigrants, because it is so much. It is an astronomical number. So essentially, just to give you an overview of what's happening right now in Virginia, Virginia offers in-state tuition to residents just like all states. Very normal. If you're living in a state for at least a year, you can then apply for it. This is what Virginia's in-state tuition graph looks like as of 2022, so it's a little outdated. But you can see, you know, the overall trend is going up. But if you're in-state, you're paying less than half the out-of-staters. You're paying, you know, around, you know, maybe 20,000, maybe a little bit less than 20,000. But if you're out-of-state, you're paying like 60,000. So we're talking about a $40,000 a year discount for in-staters. And that's great. And it should be that way because the people in-state are the ones that are paying taxes, which do go towards these in, you know, these public schools. What Virginia is doing, though, is allowing illegal immigrants to claim that they are in-state residents to get that discount, which means that, again, an illegal immigrant gets 60% off Virginia universities compared to, say, someone who is from Texas who moved to Virginia, which is crazy. Right now, estimates have it about 13,000 students that are doing this. These are 13,000 illegal immigrants going to Virginia, you know, universities, taking advantage of this program. That means Virginia, if you do the math, is paying roughly $500 million for illegal immigrants to go to school, and legal taxpayers are footing the bill. Trump's DOJ released the following. This is them going scorched earth on Virginia, going in on them. They say, today, the United States announces that it is challenging Virginia laws providing in-state tuition and financial assistance for illegal aliens. These laws unconstitutionally discriminate against U.S. citizens who are not afforded the same reduced tuition rates, scholarships, or subsidies, create incentives for illegal immigration, and reward illegal immigrants who benefits that U.S. citizens are not eligible for, all in direct conflict with federal law. Quote, this is a simple matter of federal law. In Virginia and nationwide, schools cannot provide benefits to illegal aliens that they do not provide to U.S. citizens. This Department of Justice will not tolerate American students being treated like second-class citizens in their own country. That was Pam Bondi. They finished by saying the Department of Justice's complaint is filed in the Eastern District of Virginia, Richmond Division against the Commonwealth of Virginia, seeking to enjoin the state from enforcing the Virginia laws and bring them into compliance with federal requirements. In the complaint, the United States seeks to enjoin enforcement of Virginia laws that requires colleges and universities to provide in-state tuition rates for all aliens who maintain Virginia residency, regardless of whether those aliens are lawfully present in the United States. Additionally, the complaint seeks to enjoin Virginia for enforcing state laws which afford financial assistance to illegal aliens. So essentially, they're going to sue the crap out of them. And I think Donald Trump's going to win. There's actually precedent for this already. They filed similar lawsuits against Kentucky, Oklahoma, Illinois, and California. And you'd imagine Kentucky and Oklahoma, like they did, they stepped down. They realized that was a mistake because they're Republican. But right now what you have is Illinois and California fighting it. And what we have in Virginia right now is you have their new, you know, their new governor, Spanberger, who is probably going to fight this as well because she's a raging leftist. So it's going to be fought. It's going to be interesting to see. But the good news is because there's precedence for this already, if one goes down, the others are going to go down. Most likely, if Virginia, you know, loses the suit, Illinois and California will lose them as well. Overall, though, if you're just thinking about this, it is just astounding how we have allowed illegal immigrants to come in and treat us like second-class citizens. I think Pam Bondi said it very well. Minneapolis right now, this is just another example of this. In addition to the whole Somali scandal thing going on, which is crazy, you got to look into that, they just admitted that they let illegal immigrants vote in their local elections. Straight up. I mean, that's all we heard for years was, no, they're not voting. They are. They fully admitted it today. So it's complete takeover. It's one of the reasons we need people like Trump so bad for the next 3 years and hopefully beyond. Tax season's right around the corner, guys. I want to introduce you to the people who do my taxes, QuickTax America. They do all federal tax returns for only $76, and they do all the work for you. No more spending 4 hours on you-know-what's website trying to figure everything out yourself. They just take it from you. They do a fantastic job. Last year, they got their average returner over $3,000 back because they look for every deduction, every credit possible. Go check them out at QuickTaxAmerica.com right now or when you get those tax documents.